You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
Let's do it later.
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes.
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th, hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
Oh, it's fun, crazy. It's painful, but it's wonderful.
What is the name?
It's Royce Unchained.
Patrick Royce, what is up on this Tuesday?
I do have a sports topic, but I just came up with another topic.
Okay, that's why I just turned right over to you.
Didn't you just have a wedding anniversary?
Yeah, in April 24th.
And you took the wife to dinner and stuff, right?
Yeah.
Congratulations. I was very happy yesterday to remember it was our 31st, from which we had the luxurious wedding in Vegas for the, I think it cost $50 plus another 20 for the flowers, right?
Yeah.
At the Little White Chapel. Same place Demi and Bruce got married. Same place Michael Jordan and his wife got married. They might have had the $500 wedding, not the $50 one. But, basically, we're at the point where we just give one another our warmest personal regards.
Congratulations, 31 years.
My wife never has felt it was a significant event because we were living together for 6 years before.
Tell Dawn that. So are we.
Mm-hmm.
We live together. She still thinks it's a big deal.
Yeah, well, with a lot of people it should be, and I think it should be celebrated. We just don't because, anyway. 31 years, and I gave her a nice 2-hour ride in the convertible yesterday. So that was, we drove around went around.
And she wanted to actually go on a ride with you.
Yeah. She was,
begrudgingly agreed.
She was looking for some more vitamin C to get on her face. She said she wanted some vitamin C.
I got a question for you, Patrick. Did you get to the point with your wife where eventually one day she said, quit babbling?
Oh, yes, always.
I've been told of late I should quit babbling and I just spew nonsense.
Well, she has hearing aids that she never wears, and she's not real bad, but you got to talk. And I talk low generally around the house.
Yeah.
So I hear that 10 times a day. What are you babbling about?
Okay.
What are you babbling about? And the other big issue we have now, the biggest thing is when we're watching a show together, like a Netflix series or something like that.
Yeah.
I'm always predicting the outcome. I'm always saying, that guy did it. That guy did it. She's the bad guy. And someone who looks completely wholesome early in the murder mystery of the 14-year-old girl and that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
The more wholesome they look at the start,
right,
the more you must be suspicious of them.
Yes.
And it drives her nuts that I keep saying, and that's when I get, stop babbling. Just watch the bleeping show.
So that was the entire 7-episode run of Mayor of Easttown with you and the missus, take it then?
Yeah, yes, it was.
Dawn loved that, by the way.
Oh, it's so good. Fantastic. She's Kate Winslet's as good as you can be because this repressed. She played this repressed, sad, brilliant woman. She was just fantastic. But, but that's the same way. But they gave us a pretty clear hint there at the end of 6,
yeah.
Declan.
Yes.
That it wasn't the brother, which really upset me because in episode 2,
yep,
I said he did it.
He did it.
The skinny brother, It was a minor character then. I said, he did.
She told you to shut up.
Yeah. But it looked like I was all, until the last 5 minutes of episode six, I had her.
I know.
But then all of a sudden I said, uh-oh.
It was a crazy show of twists and turns. And it was insane. Mm-hmm. I binged the whole thing. Last week, I did the first three in one night and was up till 1 a.m. And then just knocked off a few throughout the rest of the week before I caught up for the finale on Sunday. And it is one of the best damn things they've put out in a very, very long time.
You know what was interesting about it? They stopped at 7.
Yes.
They said, it's either 6 or 8, right? They said, we're done.
Yep. For them.
I was reading about it. When they started filming it, Declan, they only had 4 episodes written.
Oh, really? I didn't know that.
I read something. They were like playing catch up the whole time. But she was big on getting this made. She must have read the book or something. But she wanted to, Kate Winslet wanted to get this made. But that was probably Kate's second greatest performance. Her greatest performance was on the Ricky Gervais episodes.
Okay.
Now, Ricky Gervais. Not episodes, extras.
Extras was, yeah.
That was fantastic.
She was on, you remember that? She was on playing a nun.
Yes.
And she was smoking and scratching her private parts and swearing.
She's great.
Oh, but that series, they only made 6 of those, right?
Yeah.
Extras?
Oh, yeah.
A few. But my favorite line in that was when Stiller is playing the tyrannical director. And he said, he's rattling off because the guy's giving him some, the Ricky Gervais character is giving him a little of abuse and he's rattling off his successes. And he said, and Ricky Gervais says, how about Starsky and Hutch? And he said, was that supposed to be funny? And he said, I don't know. You tell me. And Ricky Gervais is brilliant.
Yes.
He's brilliant. But at some of the times they go too long too. I mean they go, but his version of The Office is much better than the one here. I mean the one here was fine, but the one here, the British one, is uncomfortable humor.
And he's not uncomfortable. And he's not likable.
It makes you squirm.
Michael Scott is dislikable.
Yeah. Well, none of the characters.
No, the Dwight is great.
And then Chris Finch. Chris Finch is in the British one. Finchy. That's Chris Finch.
Yeah.
Chris Finch is Finchy. He's the only guy in the world. Finchy's the most inappropriate guy ever, and he's the only guy in the world that thinks he's funny, right?
Yes.
Finchy.
Yes.
So
that's
anyway.
A great show, though.
Oh, God, it is. He's just, I love that guy.
So now, is this series going to try and come back with something,
No.
Or is it just a book and it's done?
One and done.
Good.
No,
that's how it should be.
She's
shouldn't
not
try and recreate
gonna,
stuff.
She's not going to. She doesn't play that game.
Yeah.
Know? She doesn't need a big hit, because she'll get every Emmy known to man for this.
Yeah.
And I said tied for the best TV acting I've ever seen with McConaughey in Year One of True Detective.
Oh, yes. That's
McConaughey in True. Accurate. Different roles.
Yeah.
But McConaughey was so good in the first year of True Detective. I went and watched everything he did. A lot of it bad, but but anyway, it's really good.
Why didn't they just end that?
Well, what? One of the funniest jokes ever was, True Detective 2. They got Rachel McAdams and
Vince Vaughn, right?
And who?
Vince Vaughn, I believe.
And
was
Colin Farrell.
And
right?
Colin Farrell, yeah. Good
and it
cast.
Was horrible.
And it was terrible.
It was horrible.
You tweeted extensively about how much you hated it.
Yeah, and then season 3, somebody said, season 3 is going to be 2 detectives trying to figure out why season 2 was so rotten. But the first year was just fabulous. And the guy, proved that it would have been one and done, it would have been remembered as one of the greats ever.
I think a lot of the new thing should be to try to get a season.
Yes.
And not go back.
Yep.
That's
like
that,
it doesn't have to be the traditional, 5 years.
No, there's
get a season.
Yeah. And some of them can keep going and going and going, but not something where the material doesn't offer.
Correct.
The material can't be as serious as Mar of Easttown was keep going, you know.
Yes.
Let's just let her walk around for seven more episodes being depressed. You know, I mean, that's not going to work. So anyway, it was great. That said.
Yes, sir.
I now have my Sanoa theory, and they're playing the Orioles.
Uh-huh.
Is he Chris Davis?
Ooh, yeah, he largely is.
I mean, it happened like that. I mean, they gave him the money.
Yeah.
Now, Chris Davis, what he had going for him was he could hit the ball out to left field in that ballpark, you know, and put up those huge numbers. But here's a guy like runner-up MVP, and now they refuse to this year they came up with some injury and he's missing the entire year, but there's one more year after this. I wonder if they might have had insurance that they're able to collect
on him
because he's hurt. But I mean, it's almost the same. Sano runs into more pitches than he does, but the strikeouts are the same.
Mm-hmm.
I don't get it. I just what goes through this guy's mind?
I think you just hit on.
He hits that home. You know, he hits the three, then he hits the one to center, and then the other day he wins a game, pitch a little bit away, hits it to center, and he just backed up, guessing on every pitch. He doesn't react to any pitch. He guesses to every pitch.
I think you just hit it though. What goes through his mind?
Yeah,
he doesn't. So he finally, and I don't know if it was going to Nelson Cruz's garage or what, but he finally started to adjust to what they were doing to him. And, you know, he ran into some pitches and hit some home runs. So they just readjust. No, but, and then they just, and he has no chance to readjust to what they're doing.
Plus, Cruz, now, Cruz might be able to help him fundamentally, but Cruz is not a right field hitter. He can do it if he wants to, but, you know, I talked to somebody and he's got to aim for center field, maybe even right field. This person said, take away the inner third. Don't worry about it. If somebody throws the ball in there, spit out, concede it to them.
Mm-hmm.
If they can hit that inner third, you know, just give it to them. And think about hitting the ball from middle out, you know, and get yourself some good swing mechanics again. He's unusable.
Yes.
He's unusable. One home run, I was getting heat when he hit that three-run homer to win the game because I said they were playing that clip of me saying if I'm the opponents, there's nobody I'd rather have come up with two on and one out or something. And since then, how many times has he struck out with the bases loaded? God almighty. The only time he didn't strike out, he hit into a double play.
Yeah, he left seven runners on base on Sunday.
I give him credit for eight because when you drive in a run with a double play, that's a negative. So there were eight guys on when he came up, and the only one that scored was on a double play.
I think at one point I counted it during yesterday's game. He was at 10 runners left in 2 days.
Yeah, well.
So, yeah, I mean, he is. I don't know what you do there, but this whole thing of running him out there constantly to me seems to be as counterproductive as you can get.
I would think if they were healthier, they wouldn't. I mean, he had the guts not to play him against righties for, a week?
Yeah.
10 days, and now he's back to playing him.
But, it's a mess.
Yeah, I mean, it's.
And he's frustrated. He's slamming the bat now. He's at a point now where he has no idea what to do.
Yeah. And I don't know. It's unfortunate that this is the only sport where you can't say we're putting this guy on the inactive list because he stinks.
Yes.
You know, I mean, you can't just say
Zach Parise is a scratch.
Yeah. You can't say he's a scratch. You can't. Yeah, that's right. You can't say he's a scratch. You know, if you got an NBA player who's been terrible for 2 weeks, you don't have him on the active list. But here, you can't. It costs you a roster spot. What happened to that three-man taxi squad? That's gone now.
I think
that's
gone. Yeah,
that was just for the first month.
Yeah.
There was one early
last
year,
and then like April. But I think
they traveled with him.
You know what? That's a good point. I think it's gone. I haven't heard a thing about it. So,
but he's had five years. The only way to get him to the minors beyond rehab is DFA him.
But is it going to work?
Yeah.
I mean, if you send him to St. Paul for a month,
no.
At this point in his life, what good's it going
to
do you?
No, none. Because it, you know, he'll be able to probably handle that pitching.
Yeah.
But
he's going to hit long home runs and.
I don't know. The only thing to do, people say, blah, blah, blah. He weighs 310 pounds. He's got to weigh 280, 275.
You know what this is, Pat?
But even if he got himself in shape.
Yeah.
2020, and now he's just gone again.
This is the same thing that happened. Was that June of 18 when they finally just threw their hands up and sent him to Florida to get in shape?
That was their last.
He couldn't
hit.
It was the same thing. He'd gotten big and he couldn't hit.
Yeah.
But that was at least.
I thought he was more, well, for want of a better word and being an expert on it, more slovenly in 2018 than he is now. He's just huge now.
Yeah.
But
there's no answer here is my point.
No. But, I had somebody say, well, you just got to let him go, who's a baseball guy, and then if he becomes David Ortiz, he's not going to become David Ortiz. He's 28.
Yes.
He's 20. What was Poppy when he left here, 24?
Yeah.
25? Yeah.
But he also had an idea of what he wanted to do.
Oh, yeah. And once he saw that beautiful wall out there in left field.
Miguel doesn't have the ability to do that.
No.
That's the problem.
It's unbelievable how. And it kind of comes, you get a little hope, and then, whoosh, 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 he's up to 45% again.
Yes.
Striking out. He's right back to where he was last year.
But why do we keep getting hope? I mean, he's going to hit home runs occasionally, but at this point in time, I think it's our fault that we keep getting, that we keep saying, it might be fixed. It's not going to be fixed.
I think they really like to not play him, but. I mean, I think you got to. I bet he's been on waivers already to see if anybody wants to give him something for him. And it wouldn't take much.
No.
I'd give him to Baltimore for Jorge Lopez, but they probably don't want two of those guys.
Oh, hell no. That's a problem.
They're paying Davis 40, whatever the hell it is. They still owe him 40, I think, this year and next year. So. I was thinking, why is he on the DL? They came up with some surgery, and that's got to be it.
That's very smart of them.
They got to have insurance, right?
Yeah.
I don't know. It's just pathetic. I don't know what the...
I'm to the point now where I actually feel bad for him.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. He's so hopeless at the plate and so beaten down that I feel bad for him.
Meanwhile, what did Larnick do? Bruise his foot? I can't even remember that. He fouled the ball straight down on his...
He got hit by a pitch in the the foot.
Nicked in the...
Back foot. Hit that, I don't know where. Rock was out there.
Doc Rock.
With a walking boot.
Yes.
Before Larnick could say, I'm okay.
Judd claims that Doc Rock takes his own personal supply of walking boots with him on the road.
He visits hospitals and steals the walking boots,
yes,
casts, and crutches, and he's got a whole supply in his office right behind him.
Right past walking, there's a Grateful Dead and Fish albums are just a bunch of walking boots.
I got all the walking boots.
People think I'm joking when I say MRIs and sophisticated three-dimension x-rays, right? They find out there's something wrong with you. Back in the old days, I got a sore shoulder.
Cott, why don't you continue to pitch?
Yeah, we'll give you a good back rub here, and if you can play with it, fine. And, and then we're going to go take an x-ray, and probably the x-rays of the 1980s caught it about a third as much as these do now,
because
they get you from 12 different angles.
They didn't catch soft tissue back then.
No.
They found a break back then. That's what they found.
They found an injury, and they have name for it. And I am so sick of our sports writers, all of us, writing the technical explanation of what these are, as though somebody knows what the bleep you're talking about. Just say he's got a bad shoulder or a bad knee. We don't need some exotic explanation of what's wrong with them.
You don't want the whole chapter and verse?
No, because it's meaningless.
Doc Rock would like you to know exactly why he just IL'd half the team.
Does Doc Rock use those phrases, though?
I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
He probably does.
Nobody has seen.
Although
I
suppose after bilateral leg weakness, they decided they had to come up with a real medical explanation and don't make them up because they basically ruined Joe Mauer's career.
Yes. And Joe didn't say anything.
Joe didn't
say anything. Instead of saying, hey, you idiots.
Yeah. Instead of saying, his legs are, he's having trouble with his legs. We don't know what's wrong. They had poor old Gardy read it off a slip of paper.
In Tampa, right?
Yeah.
It was some godforsaken road trip.
Oh. Boy, that 2011, though, you think of what a duplicate this year is for it. Because Morneau and him disappeared at the same point, right?
I believe so.
In Tampa, I think that.
Okay, yeah.
I mean, that was a season of great expectations. And Morneau was still, did he have a flare up of concussion problems again or something? And then Joe, I mean, that was like 48 hours of, there it is. They're unbelievable.
Yep. Your best one though for Doc Rock was this year, the game at Target Field when Arise, I think it was, at home. Yeah. Arise sort of slowed down a little bit.
Yeah.
And Rocco was out there before Rice could get to first base.
Yeah. I think I got a little loud in the press box. Offensive. Get him out of there. He can't take the pain.
Yeah, I don't think the Twins PR department especially enjoyed it.
Well, they're not used to the old days when we were just harassed.
We're very quiet in there now.
Oh, God, yes.
It's like a church now.
And I think the media members like it that way, too. You know, instead of a constant harassment.
It's a lot less fun.
Know, ripping everybody. If Dark was around, and we're not getting into that Dark Knight, the anniversary of his death today. We give 5-6 today. We have a nice discussion about him. But if Dark was around, we wouldn't have to be so reverential.
Yeah, no, it'd be impossible.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. We'd be having a... He would be greatly disappointed in this outfit, though.
Oh, God, yeah.
This team, yeah.
The Meadows at Mystic Lake has modified its golf policies to follow the COVID-19 public health recommendations and welcomes you to play this award-winning public golf course. It offers a unique, challenging, and scenic golf experience. The Meadows at Mystic Lake is a full-service golfing destination, enhanced by nearby food and entertainment, including the Meadows Bar and Grill and Mystic Lake Casino Hotel. It's never too early to book a tee time or shop the pro shop. Stop in or visit golfthemeadows.com. That's golfthemeadows.com. Owned and operated by Shakopee Mid-Wakanton Sioux Community.
Well, how about this one?
We're behind the Tigers again, right?
Yes.
Or maybe we went back ahead of them.
No.
It's quite a battle. It's a war.
How about Matt Shoemaker, who has become, as I told
what
Declan,
is with those
Devin Dubnyk.
He's Devin Dubnyk, Matt.
It's never his fault. It's bad luck.
Was Doobie that bad?
Oh, Doobie would Doobie would give you chapter and verse on how, you know, if that puck hadn't hit that guy and if we had done this. And by the end, you're like, Devin, it's none of your fault. Matt Shoemaker's, his ERA is like 5.6, okay?
Yeah, 5.9, I think now.
Or 5.9. But the point being is, dude, you're not any good.
No. Well, I had the full Twitter experience again on Matt. I tweeted out something about, I can't believe that Matt Shoemaker, who was so good in 2014, can pitch like this, you know. And I had people say, well, that was a long time ago. That was a joke, you morons. That was the point.
That was the point, yeah.
That was the point. You know, his last, he had one really good year, 2014.
Yeah.
And the last 5 years, he hadn't pitched, basically.
Seems like a nice fellow, but my God, if I have to hear one more time about your bad luck.
Mm. Yeah, you know what? He might fit in the modern approach to athletes, though.
Yeah?
I am, you know, Stuart Smalley. You know,
I'm good. Darn it, people like me?
I'm good enough. I'm smart enough, and darn it, people like me.
Yeah?
That's what... Naomi, by the way, I actually just wrote about this for tomorrow. Naomi has changed the way we will be allowed to cover sports.
Well, especially on the back end of Zoom.
Yes, that's what I wrote about Zoom and then this.
Oh, yeah.
It's a disaster because candid questions are now going to be harassment. Why don't you play better on clay is going to be harassment.
Yes.
Yeah.
Although it was handled, the whole thing was handled as
You, if she comes to you
awful
and says,
from the start,
if she comes to you and says, I have mental problems and I'm not going to do interviews, you have to give her a pass because the long term, but here's the problem. We become the bad guys, not the French officials.
Yeah.
And maybe the European press would raise so much. Yeah, they're different over there than we are. But the worst thing that happened to the media is them coming out with the hard nose thing and
kicking you out
and getting her with.
Yes.
She would. No, she decided to withdraw.
No, but they threatened her.
Yeah, yeah. They threatened
the majors her. Basically all came back and threatened her.
Yes. And now she becomes a crusader.
You know what, though, Pat? This opens up the door for what I have always contended, which is this one. Too many people are worried about coverage of their sport. If you love your sport, if she loves tennis and she would play tennis at 3 a.m. with nobody there, that's awesome. That's great. The only thing I ask then is I don't want to hear from you that I'm not covering it well enough or
yes,
I'm not doing
right,
enough.
Right, yeah.
Because the trade-off is...
I'm not sure if she would complain about that.
But she probably wouldn't. But my point is then I don't want to hear from the women's tennis or the tennis people, period, about their issue with what we do.
And that's what their excuse is. But for this hard noser. But you can't handle it as publicly as they...
they did a terrible job.
I like stuff, controversy that becomes public. Hey, it makes our world go around.
Yep.
But... it's a disaster for the media. It's a disaster for the media because we are forcing young people to have mental health problems, you know, and stuff. I've gotten a bunch of emails on it today about, you know, somebody sent me one about the Jim Eisenreich comparison. And Jim Eisenreich had an ailment.
Yeah.
I'm not sure that. If this kid...
I think she's got depression.
She's got...
They could have handled
it. She's got insecurity, I guess.
No, I think she's clinically probably depressed, but here's what I don't understand. Why didn't you all get together at the start? And she says, I'm going through a really bad spat here. You know, bad period
of time. Did she give them any advance notification? Well,
but her first statement basically said, I don't want to do press conferences because I don't want to do Preska.
I won't do them.
What she released yesterday in withdrawing...
Yes.
To me, total different ballgame.
She should have said that originally.
Yes. If she said, look,
I think
I'm going to try and play, but I am going through depression. I would say, okay, you know what? That's fine.
Go ahead and play.
Go ahead
but
and play.
That's what makes me suspicious of the whole deal, that it's a setup. That she didn't tell them the truth in advance. That she waited until they overreacted because I think she wants to become a campaigner. You know? Maybe I'm wrong. Who knows?
My problem is I don't trust any side here. And so the tennis official side, I just think that they are probably have no idea what they're doing.
No, and they are, and as I say, the European mentality of the importance of the media is stronger than ours, right? At least.
But the tennis folks are notoriously easy on the players, right? For the most part. The tennis media?
Not the tabloids. Not the tabloids. They want to know about your love life. And,
okay.
You know, they used to love to get, like, Connors and McEnroe and those guys worked up. You know, they wanted to.
Right.
You know, it's a different world with the tabloids over there. That's obviously for sure.
But everything, Zoom and this, and everything's changed.
Oh, yeah. Zoom is...
You're right about that.
Zoom is going to have a great carryover. It's not going to be the future completely, but it's going to be used... You know, off days, late night, it's getaway day. We're going to do our press conferences on Zoom.
I think
today.
It's going to be used to severely limit our access to clubhouses, too.
Oh, yes.
And locker rooms.
Waiting for the guy who screwed up the game. You're not going to be able to outwait him anymore. When it used to be an hour and a half, you could outwait him. Now you're probably going to get a half hour.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yep.
Little different. I was recalling when the one of the last years the Twins were good, I guess, late 2000s, you know.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. I went on a road trip with them and they wanted a long narrative on a week long road trip and what was going on with the Twins. And by the way, it was great and the editor didn't like it. Not Glenn, but the other editor didn't like it because it wasn't hard. You know, it was a lot of anecdotes and, you know, how a team,
they didn't like
how a team functions on the road, which is fine. But I was wandering in there in the clubhouse at 2 o'clock in the afternoon, talking to Gardy, sitting in his office for an hour. Then, but you're not, you know, going around looking in the locker to see what guys got. You're just, you know, and in fact, if you want to interview somebody, you're saying, hey, when you get done dressing here, can I meet you down the dugout or something like that? But, you know, back then, you didn't routinely get to the clubhouse at 2, but if you had nothing else to do, you went.
And you could just wait for guys to come out.
You went, and you, you know, you'd wander in and see what was going on, and if you saw somebody you wanted, you wouldn't sit around and wait and see if they walked out in their underwear or anything. But you, I mean, if baseball was, that's what made baseball great to write, because you could capture the anecdotes and stuff like that. And now,
but I think across the board, you're right in this. When a guy screws up, people want to know what happened.
Yes.
And most importantly, the accountable people would always come out.
Yes.
They would talk. So they didn't like it, but I mean, when Blair Walsh missed the field goal, you got to give him credit. He sat at his locker, and as soon as we walked in, he was there.
Yes.
And answered every question. Yes. He got pissed off, but he answered. That's gone, I think.
Yeah. Oh,
that unless you're a rights holder. Unless you can get the guy because you're
and
paying
him. And then
the
you will get the question would be like the biggest softball of all time.
Yes. So how hard is this?
Was it cold
for you
out there, Blair? Do you think that had something to do with it?
No, you're right.
The questions that come with the excuse drive me crazy. And that's.
So you're not a big fan of Bally Sports North, huh?
No, the questions that come with the excuse or tell me about.
Yes.
Tell me about that missed field goal you choked on.
Yeah. You tell me how difficult this is for you right now. But
I don't want to. I mean, I use this at the basically in the column I wrote for tomorrow. But I had one question after the opener in Milwaukee. What was Alex Colome thinking of when he threw the ball to second base and urinated away the ball game?
Mm-hmm.
And you got no chance to get that answer.
No,
because they're, you know, hey, I'd like to talk to Alex and ask him what.
Yeah, you know, that blown save, I'd really like to discuss
this. This is his first attempt to close a game. He had it won. He made a stupid play. Could I ask him about it? No.
You can't even get that whole sentence out to the PR department before they say, he's not talking.
They tell you who. Well, that's the other thing. Guys you want can just say no, thank you. In the Zoom era.
Yes.
They can just say no Zoom.
Yes.
Thank you.
I think the majority of the Twins, so when the Twins were on their last losing streak, I was told it was Rocco and the starting pitcher, and a lot of days that'd be it.
That was it, yeah. Yeah, not try to scrounge anybody up after that.
You know who I'd love
to
know?
They should at least have Rocco and the guy who got hurt today.
Yeah. Rocco will talk about him because he just stuck him in a full body cast. The guy that I would love to know, because I think he'd be accountable, Donaldson. I'd love to know what he
would. Yeah, but he wouldn't talk about, you know, they wanted him to talk about, okay, you say that you got video of all these cheaters.
Right, but we can't get back at him. What I'm saying is if we could be in the clubhouse and you approached him,
right.
That's what I want.
Yeah,
Not on Zoom.
No, right.
Zoom sucks.
Yes.
No, I'm saying if we could be in the clubhouse, I think Donaldson would talk about that. And I also think, I mean, he's not playing well.
No.
I'd love to know what he thinks.
Yeah. And he looked pretty good this spring, too. And then he got hurt, of course, opening day. That was the other thing. I was talking to somebody today. You're in Milwaukee for the opener. And the first at bat of the season, Donaldson hits a double and gets hurt. And you can't, you know, you can't ask him how he's, you know, is this the same thing? You got to take somebody else's word for it.
Yes.
I feel sorry for Rocco having to answer for everybody. At least in football, where you only play once a week, they got 7 or 8 guys, right, after most games last year.
Yeah.
Didn't they have maybe not all the guys you wanted.
I was going to say, you still didn't get the guys. But, he has to basically have an answer for every single question now, aside from possibly the starting pitcher.
This is Ricey for EcoFun Motorsports. The preseason sale on all bikes, scooters, and ATVs is going on right now in Forest Lake. Beat the spring rush And EcoFun will give you the free storage with your purchase until the weather is a bit more bike-friendly. If you enjoy bike rides on a summer day, but maybe your knees aren't what they used to be, then I recommend that you talk with Tim Bloom, the owner of EcoFun Motorsports in Forest Lake. Tim and his family will personally help you select the e-bike that is right for you. They will even deliver to your front door in the metro area. Take advantage of the preseason sale prices right now. Bentelli bikes and Yamaha Power Assist bikes are at their lowest price of the year. Check out EcoFun Motorsports in Forest Lake. Take a test ride and put biking back on your list of favorite outdoor activities. They also carry a full line of Yamaha scooters, motorcycles, and a variety of Yamaha ATVs, including ATVs for kids. Check out EcoFun Motorsports in Forest Lake and online at EcoFunMotorsports.com. That's E-C-O-F-U-N, Motorsports.com. And tell Tim you heard it on Racy Unchained.
Well, I mean, one thing that surprised me is, you know, I haven't talked to everybody, but the number of reporters who don't mind it, Zoom. I mean, it's to me that
how can you not hate it?
I don't know.
It totally stifles the job from every angle.
Mm-hmm.
Like if you want to write features, you can't.
No.
So like
now they're letting you. You can go down and stand and down the way from the dugout and talk to a guy for 8 minutes, standing outside. If he comes over to the fence, and,
where can you stand?
Okay, down from the dugout.
Yeah.
Down at that, I think it might be the photo.
Oh, the camera well.
Camera well.
Yeah.
You can stand down and then the guy can, right down there, and the guy can come over to the fence and talk to you. They had that going in spring training sort of too.
Oh.
But interview, I was trying to do the life and times of Ben Rortvedt outside the dugout. He's in the dugout standing. And then it started to rain very hard. And I'm sitting there trying to write on a wet pad, trying to, and I finally said, give me your phone number, I'll call you from upstairs before I drowned here, you know. But still, you get him on a phone for 12 minutes.
Right,
you know?
Right.
I mean, that's not, you know, you don't, the other thing about Zoom is, I know people, I'm sure they don't care, but you can't ask, you know.
Follow-ups.
You ask your question.
And you're done, basically.
And then, you know, you, like when I've been on it, which is rarely, I'll say, I got two.
Yeah.
You know.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. Because anyway. Yeah, it's tough. It's gonna be and I think Osaka's changed the world. Long term, as you said, bigger effect on us than Zoom, I think.
Yeah.
Long term on what we're gonna be evil. You know.
Well, we were trending in that direction before this, so why not?
Well, it is funny that sports now is supposed to be civil.
Mm-hmm.
Meanwhile, politics, you can sit and scream any lie you want about somebody and be considered a media member, right?
Yep. Yeah, it's sort of changed. It's sort of flipped.
Yeah.
The hot take now people are now
no
politics.
Civility in sports, it's going to be, you know.
But, you know, Pat, this shouldn't be a shock to us because we have been preparing kids now, and I mean, athletes are largely kids. They're not that old, right?
Mm-hmm.
We've been preparing, you know, we've been giving them trophies. We've been, and I'm not comparing this to depression, but I'm just saying as a whole, right? When it comes, we are getting the crop of athletes now that have been handled with kid gloves for a long time. They're not going to be prepared for what goes with the professional lifestyle.
I was at a baseball game the other day. You're alma mater.
You're Benilde?
No, your hometown, Minnetonka. Right?
Oh, yes, Minnetonka.
Versus Moorhead, of all people.
Okay.
Out on that diamond, the Minnetonka High School.
That's a very nice diamond.
Sprightly, like hour 35, 2-0. They all made the plays. It was great. Saturday afternoon, nice day. But I was standing next to a parent whose son was in the game, and he was chewing him out from the stands. It was just like old times.
Okay.
Just like a dad. He was
demanding that he have a higher standard in his play.
Probably wants a scholarship for the young man.
I don't know.
Probably doesn't want to pay the whole college
rate. I
don't
know if he wants one, but it was like, so I went over and told this guy's mother. I said,
you're such a troll.
I said, did you hear your son insulting your grandson over? She says, yes, I heard him. That's why I don't sit next to him.
You are such a troll, causing family problems.
Yes, that's right.
In lovely Minnetonka.
It was a heck of a game. But yeah, it's, I don't know. I don't know how you get the hard-nosed parents to some degree, but,
oh yeah,
but parents are usually not mad at their own kid. They're mad at the,
but I'm saying
they're mad at the coach.
The sport now tries to coddle the kids far more than they used to as a whole. If the coach yells, I think it's a bigger problem.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
The old man will still get mad. Mm-hmm. And I do think that hockey parents are still nuts. Mm-hmm. So it hasn't changed completely.
I did a piece 20 years ago on Ron Earhart. And one of the stories was, you know, he was a hard-nosed high school coach somewhere in North Dakota, I think, or something. And his kid, it was indoor football practice or something.
Yeah.
And this guy was talking about, they loved him, but how hard-nosed he was. And it was, one of the anecdotes was he clotheslined this kid and rolled him around, you know, because the kid giving him lip or not doing what he told him or something. He went, turned about four cartwheels going over. I put that in there and people, you know, he should have been arrested. And, you know, I mean, back then they football coaches hit people in the head, you know, slapped them in the helmet.
Yes, they did.
Grab the face mask. Ditka. Y'all love Ditka in Chicago. You remember right here in the dome grabbing Harbaugh.
Oh, and he went nuts on Harbaugh after
Harbaugh
Todd Scott. Yeah.
And he should have. Todd Harbaugh
audibled out of
the call. Bears had that game in the bag, and he audibled out of that and threw an interception. Ditka went nuts because the Bears were on the downturn then, right?
Yes.
And they came in here and they were like kicking their
ass. It was like 28-0 or 21-0.
21-3 or just running the ball. Yeah. And he threw an interception and the Vikings got interested again. So you know, Ditka was right. Mm-hmm. It was crazy. Grab the face mask and twist
it. If you did that now, though? If Zim grabbed a face mask now, we'd be beside ourselves.
Well, the other thing is, you know, sportsmanship has really ruined baseball in a lot of ways, you know, teasing the opposition. And
that's what I'm saying. But, I mean, these kids are coming up now and playing professional sports.
Yes.
So, like, this is the next group. They really don't know how to handle what goes with it.
I told you this story. God, this is 30 years ago, my stepson's best buddy is Matt. And Matt's playing for the Little Gophers. And Matt's going to really good. And then he's playing Ryan's team, you know, up at Sandberg, I think, right up the street from us. And Matt has got this Harpo Marx hairdo, you know. And he comes up, you know, in the Golden Valley fans, I've seen them at games, but these little Gopher fans don't know. And I get a haircut. Come on, you look like you're a disgrace. Come on, kid, get a haircut and stuff. I'm yelling at him, and they all wanted to like fight me, you know, because I was teasing Matt. You know, they didn't know that, you know, he was spent half his life at our house,
and
Ryan spent half the other half at his house. You know,
so he probably thought it was hilarious, and they're all mad at you.
He was fine with it, although he was one of those kids that turn red at the heartbeat, so you could, you know, if you drew attention to him, it would help. But you know, that don't work anymore.
No, you got to watch your.
Well, the umpire will throw you out of the stadium. You know, so
especially if he's like Joe West.
What else we got? Hockey. Who do you like here? Is it going to be an Avalanche?
The Bruins are good, right? Yeah. But if game one of the Avs series was an indicator, I don't think Vegas can keep up with them.
I don't think Vegas had a fair chance of having a day and a half off.
Right? Well, yeah, we'll find out. I think they'll win a game.
Yeah.
I think they might win two.
I said to you, I thought, being the hockey guy that I am, I thought they had a better chance against Vegas because they could win with 3 goals instead of 5.
Yes.
You know, against these guys, you got to score.
Which means
are they healthy, by the way, now, Colorado?
Yes.
That's bad.
Yeah, that's really bad. Which means our guy Doobie in line for a ring. He's the backup. He's a backup goalie.
Backup goalie.
He's a backup
never
goalie.
Never play, right? Unless somebody gets hurt.
It would be catastrophic if he has to play. If he has to play, I might change my prediction.
How much did he get to play down the stretch? A little bit?
A little bit, but then he got COVID.
Oh, really?
Grubauer was out. I think he had COVID or he was hurt, and so Doobie played a lot, and then Doobie got COVID.
So we were, Wild deserve all the praise for the future that they've received since their demise?
I think it's pretty fair. Yeah.
The fact that you've got Kaprizov, a year ago at this time, you didn't know Ek was going to be good.
Yep. The goalie was good. Mm-hmm. Talbot played really well.
I remember talking to somebody and saying, these guys can't get enough of drafting these Scandinavians who can't score. But it turned out Ek's a player.
Yes.
What about Greenway? Is he a player?
I don't know. He's way too inconsistent. I think he might go to Seattle in the expansion draft. Mm-hmm. Him or Soucy, probably.
He'll be hard to turn down.
And their other problem is they can't bring Parisi back. I don't know what they're going to do there because it's going to be a financial pain in the ass.
I've been reading he was their best player on the ice the last three games.
Because he hadn't played. He's fine if you can give him huge breaks.
Mm-hmm.
The same thing. When
Nobody's going to take him, though.
That's why you might have to buy him out, which is going to be a pain financially.
What's that cost you?
The problem is it costs you a lot over a period of time, and it's all against the cap. It goes against your cap. So it's there's no good way for this to end, but you can't bring him back.
How old is he now?
36.
And he just, too many years
of
battling.
Yeah, he's been beat up. Yeah.
Too many years of being in the front of the net.
He got his ass kicked every night.
Yeah. He was, probably more so than Dino because Dino didn't have to play defense, right?
Yes.
Like this.
Well,
guy.
And Dino didn't. Dino would go to the front of the net. Parisi went to the front of the net and the corners.
Yeah.
And he would try and get back. I mean, he just got the crap kicked out of him year after year after year. There was no way that into his late 30s he was still going to be as efficient playing the way that he plays. The problem is he is okay if you give him some time off. But he don't want the time off. He gets
by
mad.
By the way, as we talked about yesterday,
yeah,
John Wareham, our one-man library now at the Star Tribune, did find me the Sid column that telling us how lucky we were that we lost to the Falcons because there were so many injuries. No chance in the Super Bowl. Everybody who looks back at that 99 loss in January,
yep,
as a bitter disappointment,
nope.
You got to go back and revisit Sid telling us we had too many injuries, we would have never been competitive in the Super Bowl.
These teams missed Sid right now.
All you people out there saying, that was our year? Nope. Would have just been Super Bowl loss number 5, baby.
So the Falcons did the Vikings a favor.
They did us a favor. Okay. Right? Gary Anderson did us a favor.
What would Sid write about the 2021
right now, he'd
Twins?
He'd be writing about how well the Wild, how it's a break for the Wild with all the injuries that they got beat in the first round. In fact, they would have been better off if they didn't even make the playoffs. They've had so many injuries. And the Twins, of course, it would be all injuries. Otherwise, they'd be.
You can't win without Byron Buxton, Max Kepler.
Although he was never quite the excuse maker for the baseball that he was for pretty much everybody, or hockey for that matter.
Yeah, that's true. He didn't care about that.
No, he didn't. Not the North Stars, he did, but. He didn't care about them. The fact that they played in East Berlin, and he didn't care about.
They'll
that.
Never make it there.
But that was.
They'll be a target center.
I was trying to
years.
Remember when it was. He told us we were lucky to lose the NFC title game, and you said it was. You thought
it was 98.
98.
Oh yeah,
it was 98.
They had a lot of guys hurt. So
I got. I haven't looked at it yet, but I got it in my email. So anyway, they did. John Randall got hurt and stuff like that.
Ed McDaniel tore his knee up. I think.
Hadn't he? I thought that was the year. Hadn't he already been hurt?
I thought he got hurt in that game.
Oh, no. Well, when did he get hurt in Arizona one time? Remember that? They were having a good year, and then he got hurt. I remember him getting hurt down there when he was.
No, I don't remember that.
Okay, then, huh? What time is it?
Are we good?
Yeah.
It's 1:10, Pat. It's 1:10.
Guess what happened today here at the Hubbard Empire?
What's that?
The mayor is back
in studio.
Declan told me.
The mayor.
You saw him sharpening a pencil.
Sharpening pencils. You know he's back.
The mayor is back, and it's good because I love the fact that, like, 3 months into the pandemic, the mayor was saying, open it up. He was on the open it up campaign, but we never saw him.
Not for a year.
No, but he's back. So good for the
mayor. You know what? As far as I'm concerned, after seeing traffic back and the parking lot full here, we can close it up again.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Get him off the road.
There are certain things about the pandemic.
There's nothing like
we're not bad.
Cruising down 94 at 1:30 in the afternoon with three cars like on the entire road was.
And we're also finding out fans throwing crap at people.
What the hell is going on? The guy ran on the court last night in the Sixers game. What is going on?
Fans, we don't need them. We were better off without them.
But I mean, people have flipped, man.
They are.
Like, what's going on?
They have the right to do anything they want to right now. It's incredible. But,
were we doing this before the pandemic and I don't remember it? It feels like it's worse now.
I think, yeah, but if you throw something on a guy walking up the tunnel, I think they're going to make a bigger deal out of it now than they did before.
They should.
Before George Floyd and the whole thing. I think they're making a bigger deal. I think they're making a bigger deal. And I'm in favor of it.
Yeah.
You know, you got to go and act like a decent human being, you know.
Hey, I was a kid during this time, but this reminds me, what we're going through right now reminds me of the 70s. Like is that accurate?
Yeah.
It feels like a lot of the unrest and come back from Vietnam.
Yeah, the early 70s when the campaign to get out of Vietnam was really getting strong. And then Kent State, you know.
But it just feels like a lot of the same anger.
Yeah, but. And chaos. Yeah, and it's political. It's political, too. I mean, it's the political lines are about the same, too.
Okay, yeah.
We old white guys against, the love it or leave it crowd against the, the younger generation, which had more liberal views.
Yeah.
So, anyway.
All right.
All righty.
Talk to you next Monday.
Miguel, today's issue is Miguel, the second coming of Chris Davis. We'll be back. If you have questions about your retirement savings, do what I did and work with a person that knows what the heck is going on. Work with Josh Arnold, Mr. Money Talk. My guy Josh will give you straight talk and not sugar-coated advice. Learn how you can benefit from Josh's focused approach by setting up your own no-cost, no-obligation 48-minute consultation to review your investments. Call Josh now, 952-925-5608.